看来我们只能靠自己了。
地球错失了最后一线机会。
这座公共不是庇护所。
我觉得旁边的二货人哪辆几万女的毛病。
Hi everyone, and welcome to Middle Earth, your source for insight into China cultural industry. Listen to those who are making a living by creating and distributing art or content onto the world's second biggest cultural market. I'm your host, Aladin Faré from CCP, China Compass Production, your film production service in the Middle Kingdom. And this show is a member of the Cineca Network. In case you have a cultural project related to China, drop us an email at chinacompassproduction.com and see how we can help. I think as much as everyone would love to claim that they love art and movies, I think we also all love to have some pleasure to watch reality shows or format shows, to see celebrities making fools of themselves, cheer for a team during a game, or to cringe in front of people dating. And China has a lot of those shows. They are, of course, infinite source of Weibo debates and memes. Those cultural projects are a vibrant part of China's society while pushing the sales of internet platform VIP membership. I am today with two producers who have worked many years on that field. So first, Luca.
Yeah, hello.
You are from Beijing. You are the founder of Dao Media,
yeah.
A really young company that is focused on reality shows and documentary. And previous to that, you worked on variety shows like National Treasure for CCTV3 or The Dunk of China for Youku and Zhejiang TV.
Yeah.
In front of you, Shirley, you're from Anhui, but you really feel like a Beijinger now. So now you work at Cinex, which is like a documentary company where you are the CCO, Chief Content Officer. And I actually invite the listeners to listen to episode 21 when we interview Ruby Chen, who is one of the founder of Cinex.
Mm-hmm.
But previous to that, you worked on many type of positions. So you were working in business side, production, distribution at CCTV, BBC, Phoenix TV, 3C Media, and LIC, my former company where I also worked over there.
Yes.
For once, dear listener, we are on the same room. We are in Luca company, so you might hear some people in the background.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll first talk about the origin of reality TV shows. Who are the main distributors in China, the latest trends and regulation regarding this industry? And of course, after the conversation, we'll finish with a recommendation of our guest and the quiz. For a quick definition, what we are talking about today, Wikipedia gives the word reality television. But I believe we could apply the word game show, reality show, variety show, and scripted show. I mean, anything non-scripted happening in a studio or a limited area while competitors try to win something. At the end, we're going to have like kind of a bird-eyed view of the whole industry. We can't have all the answer today, so already just like talking about
it. It doesn't matter, just because it's true.
Could we first dive into the type of shows that were broadcasted in China from, let's say, when everyone had a television until today?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what were you guys watching when you were, like, young adults and then coming up until today?
So back to my memories. Talk about variety show. I think everyone knows Zheng Da Zongyi.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's a weekend show.
Mm-hmm.
And during the weekend, most of Chinese family watch that show. It's a brand new experience, I think. Because before that, we have only kind of, how to say Wanhui?
Gala show
on TV.
Like typically the CCTV One New Year Gala.
Yeah, yes. New Year Gala, something like that.
But which is more like a one shot, like for a special event rather than a weekly format.
Yeah, that's right. Zheng Da Zongyi, Luca mentioned, the show is actually a studio-based quiz show. They have like outdoor, it's a traveling quiz. Because for that time, it's very difficult for Chinese people to visit outside world. So it's a very eye-opening show. That's one thing. The other thing, because it's a studio-based quiz show, which means that it generates the very fast pacing, very entertaining atmosphere, which is so much different and just stood out at that time. It's a show that for the first time that have host and hostess, which has got name, you know, so well known by Chinese people. And yeah, it's very formatted, to be honest. So for the audience, they have expectations to come back to the show.
And also, 正大综艺 is sponsored by 正大药业. When we know the name of the show, we might not know 正大药业 actually. So I think this is very early. I'm not sure this is the first or not, but it's a commercial company, you know, sponsored a kind of variety show.Yeah, with the name of the company.
So, yeah, quite a milestone variety show, which is entertainment-oriented and commercial-oriented at the same time.
I think the China reputation is always about like copying stuff. And especially in the format show, what about this? What about, like, if I remember, like, there were a lot of TV shows that were coming from abroad and that were basically copied or were not even bought at all. Could you describe a little bit the scene on, in those like burgeoning years of 2004 and 2010, something like this?
The超级女生, I think is the first broadcast on 2004. This is American Idol, the copy version of American Idol, and without kind of a format import, because at that time I don't think people realize or people know that kind of business exists. So, and also, you know, 2004. Well, I think I watched some Taiwan variety show during my college time, but. I think very few TV shows of you know Western from Western country, so at that time you know people you know get lots of idea from the Western show, especially in Hunan TV, because Hunan TV is a very special kind of structure. And all the leader of Hunan TV is very positive, very aggressive. You know, aggressive to push all the producers to do new things. No matter is a copy version or not, just to put it out. And all the pressures are, you know, hanging by the leaders from Guangdian Zongju or whatever. And also, they produced a very good commercial value during that time. So it's a kind of a good, you know, it's a kind of a good way, you know, commercial side, content side. They put a very nice circle in that environment.
So my comments on the copycat thing of format here in China, back in 2004, 5, you know, like 15, 20 years ago, I don't think there is any copycat because you just don't have the access or very limited access to international format, international TV. So I would say they just know there is a American Idol and it's just a concept. But I wouldn't say is a fully copycat of that. That show, because for instance, if you say you're the copycat of The Voice, you need to copycat the turning chair, otherwise it is not The Voice. That's my opinion. So I don't really think they're a copycat anything, because you know we don't have access. Like today we know Korean new Korean variety show, you know, on air last week, but back in that time, we just don't have that fast access to those informations. I don't know how to say that in English, but to me, it's just a kind of copy of concept rather than copy of a TV format.
Yeah, sure. But my point was mainly that from what I understand is that the scene starts basically in the 90s. There's like one show that starts. Then we arrive in 2005, 2008, 2010, and there are like more shows being produced out there. But so far, they're more like, I'm not saying it's bad or not. I'm just saying that's the way. They are more like inspired by foreign formats. Mm-hmm. And then what would be the situation today?
situation changed because the government launched a new regulation back in 2016, I think. They just set up the quota of imported international format and really encouraging original format from China, this market. So I think the whole thing just turned around back in 2016. Now we have less formatted shows, more original shows.
I think it's very complicated. For example, I believe in 2004, American Idol is a very successful format, and it doesn't come out just one day. It's not suddenly comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be, you know, kind of a development, maybe 3 or 5 years, based on American culture or American TV industry. So maybe before that, they produced something, TV competition, singing competition, then maybe a reality show, then American Idol. The difference is in China, we just, you know, grab this here, and you're inspired or were copycat, or it's just, you know, we just copied the final idea. So we didn't go through the development, how it makes, you know, this is all true entertainment, right? Non-fiction entertainment kind of things. How we go from maybe documentary, then light entertainment show, and then reality show. So it's a process. We didn't have this that process. We just have the final product, the very good commercial value, good audience, catching show. The result. So now why there is a big change of format shows. One side, I think Shirley is right. Is from government, from the nation. They have everything control. And the other side is from the creators. You know, the rap of China, in Korea, the original version, they have already broadcast 6 seasons. Then then Aichi got the first season. You already get 6 years experience from Korea and crash this together to get one from of yours. So I think that's the reason why the format show in China doesn't, you know, have a long term development. Most of a format show have three seasons, I think it's maximum 3 seasons, and then just disappeared. I think that's the reason is we don't have the experience of the development. We don't have the experience to think about it, to do the research, to really understand what is the TV industry, what is the audience. We just get the right answer because the broadcaster is doing this as well. For example, if you have a proposal to the broadcasters, and the broadcaster will ask, is that a format? Which country it from? And how is the broadcasting situation? How many viewers? How many commercial value? So this is the judgment from the broadcaster side is as well. So it's just all the things altogether. Putting it like this.
Okay, but then, yeah, great, because I wanted to talk about the broadcaster. So I'm just like wondering who are the broadcaster who are kind of pushing the industry of formats in China. So you already mentioned Hunan TV, which started things like back in the 2000s. But then what about like, are there other players out there?
Definitely a streaming platform compared with traditional broadcasters like Hunan Satellite TV, those streaming platforms, they've been very powerful in the past 5 years.
I think all the things are, you know, money-driven.
What a surprise.
Because, you know, in China, we have not, you know, we don't have pure public channels. Every channel is belongs to, yeah, it belongs to the nation, but it's a commercial channel. So every broadcasters has to be, you know, sell the advertisement and to get the income. Also, you know, during that time, the branders in China is exactly the time they need to let all the nation know their brand. So they have lots of money to spend on it. So yes, broadcaster is chasing the money. And also, that Shirley mentioned, the production company is also chasing that money.
Yeah, can I just add, you actually point very good player who are the sponsors.
Yes.
You know, the development of format industry here in China was driven by sponsors. You know, where if they put money in, for instance, talent show, and then talent show will be a boom in China. If they put money in outdoor reality show like Benpao Ba Xiongdi, Running Man, and all of a sudden, you know, the outdoor reality show becomes a boom. So they are a big driver.
Yes.
Because I was also wondering, what is the business model? So you're basically saying that without sponsor, no format shows.
It's a yes from me.
Yes.
Very unfortunately, but it is a yes.
So broadcaster won't pay for it. They will maybe chip in a little bit, but if you do a format show in China, broadcaster money won't be enough.
They will pay first, but at least at the end, they have to get back the money from the sponsors. So that's the what I'm talking about. In China, there is no pure public channel. Every channel is commercial channel.
It's a sad thing, isn't it?
Well, that's just the way it is. I'm not here to judge. But what's interesting is that you say like channel are commercial. But for me, the way I see it is like the lineup of all the internet platform, Tencent Video, iQIYI, Youku, and then the lineup of format in CCTV. Like they are completely different. For example, like CCTV, the format that they push on would be more like family friendly, or there is like, for example, this Chinese poetry conference, or or the your own show that you worked on, National Treasure.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel those things are less commercial driven, and only people like CCTV would care to push on like culture on television, whereas internet platform are a little bit more money driven.
We do have like a government policy, national policy, to promote cultural shows, but I think that's part of the industry. It's more policy driven things. But if you ask questions about the whole industry, it is very commercial driven. For instance, they may deliver a show or format for one season using their own money, even without any sponsorship. They may still go for it, but definitely you're wait and see whether they can still afford to pay for season two. And that's a big question. So I would say a large amount of format shows in China was driven very commercially, and small amounts was driven by policy.
CCTV is a very special, it's a special example, but back to the variety show, to the end is commercial driven, because no matter what, it will be the budget will be paid by sponsors, even on CCTV.
So even a show like National Treasure that talks about the treasure of China, which for me would be like a complete culture show that would like push the history, you still need sponsor, otherwise it won't happen.
Well, it will happen, but it will happen only, I think, is some political needs.
Will.
Yeah, will. Okay. Yes. Well, and also, you know, 这个我觉得可能没法太说得清楚，因为这个事儿是就是 CCTV 是什么，就是领导要做OK， 就是领导要做肯定会做啊。这广告费怎么去分
？Very very complicated. But do we have to say that? Because this is too Chinese, and I don't know how many audience this will be reaching. But it's very complicated. So for CCTV, they have like yearly sponsors, a sponsor who have a big
budget,
lump sum of budget goes to CCTV. So they don't really care.Whether those budget goes to that show, this show, or that show. So it gives a channel, a broadcaster, a lot of freedom to put the money need in the show, driven by policy. I don't know whether you understand how that work. So probably you see they don't...from the broadcasting of the show, you don't found any sponsors or what, but still they have...this kind of money to support the show. Yeah, so to us, we think it is still very much commercial driven because I think, I believe Luca also had a lot of experience pitching to broadcasters. I had a lot of experience pitching to broadcasters some brand new ideas. We think they're brand new and we're really proud of them. But eventually, it really depends whether they can raise...sponsorship for the show or not. So that's why, you know, back in 10 years or so, it just gave me this kind of impression. So that's why we keep talking about in China, variety show, especially variety show, is so much commercial driven.
Understood.
Yeah. Because it requires a large budget. Yeah. Unlike documentaries.So documentary small budget, sometimes you can still approach a broadcaster to say we have such a great, great documentary idea. Because it's small budget, they can support you even there's no sponsor at all.
So apart from the fact that at the end, no matter who is going to broadcast you, CCTV, local TV, internet platform, so the weight of the sponsor is really big. What are like the typical issues thatproducer, content writer, staff complain? For example, I heard that stars, when they go on those format shows, like they're part of the budget, like their salary is like so big that it basically eats everything else. And then the quality of production like really takes a toll on it.
For me, when developing a variety show format, for me, the difficulty is to really find uniqueconcepts and unique access and a reliable production crew to really carry out the filming. So I think that's the three very important thing. First of all, you really have to have a brand new idea and nobody had tried before. And second of all, you need to show them you do have this access either to people or to location.And finally, you really need to give broadcasters a kind of proof that we have a reliable team to fulfill, you know, everything written on the paper.
You know, the difficulty is now it's lots of platform, a different kind of platform and lots of content. But sponsors are, you know, decreased. 对吧 decreased,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
对吧
Due to the economic downturn.
Yeah, because, you know, for example, I will give you an example. You know the Vivo, right? It's the cell phone producer.
Cell phone company.
Some cell phone company,
like
yes.
Huawei, Xiaomi,
yeah, like Huawei,
Apple.
I remember I meet them before 2016. They have, you know, they sponsor everything.Every single show, you can see the logo of Vivo. But now, they will never do that again because, first of all, they have, you know, this is advertising is to letting more and more people know. Once you know the brand, and then the company will focus on, now we call it the 效果传播, is, you know, more precisely.
Yeah, more niche market.
Yeah, niche market.
And then format is too big.
Yes. For example, and they can use 朋友圈, they can use WeChat, they can use all the different
social media way
to approach the aim, but not using buy a very expensive TV show, spending, you know, hundreds of millions of the budget to produce a show, and then no one knows what kind of result you can give me. So this is the real situation now here. So the platform, they have their own show. Even, you know, Tencent, iQIYI, Youku, they have their own sun. So once they got the milk, they feed their own sun first. And then they have a very close friend, a production company, so they might get some cooperation with their close friend, and then maybe they will think about your idea, even no matter it's a brilliant idea or it's a dumb idea. So this is the most difficult thing, because the environment, the industry, the circle is like this, because the circle is very simple. Production company produce content, platform broadcast it, and sponsor pay the bill. So this is the triangle, you know, circle. So the sponsors is now smaller and smaller, and the platform, internet platform, it has no limited. It's not like TV platform. TV platform, you have only, you know, maximum 24 hours. Yeah, in one day, but internet platform has no limited. You can get whatever, how many content inside. So who will pay that?
Can I add one more thing? Just now, Luca mentioned about the triangle players in this industry. I think the very unhealthy thing nowadays in China is that the broadcasting, because broadcasters like iQIYI, Tencent, and all of that online streaming platform, they're broadcasters, but they are developing them as production house as well. So they have lots of self-owned in-house production. So this actually is not a very healthy situation. You know, if you compare this to BBC Studios, BBC, you know, Netflix. You know, the separation of broadcasting and production is so clear that broadcasters generate or encourage creativity of those production companies. But here in China, you know, it's not a healthy market, I would say, because broadcasters have so many in-house production house themselves. So they just create ideas within their own circle. That's the problem.
It's also not pure in-house production company. It's just because the platform has their own king cards.
Mm.
Like, for example, Tencent has the 101, Produce 101. They have 演员请就位, I don't know how to say that in English.
Mm.
iQIYI have their own, you know, top show, and Youku have their own top show. So they are using that show to get memberships. So they have to own the show, totally own the show. So it's called 自制, so means which means in-house,
mm-hmm.
in-house produce, right? Production. They are also, you know, have that kind of pressure to create new ideas, to create a good content. And also they call it in-house production, but it's still hiring outside people, outside team, technology support to produce the show together. So they just want to spend less money and earn more.
What you were mentioning before, Luca, I'm recoming back to people producing shows here. You mentioned that distributor, broadcaster, they don't distribute the thing like too long. You said like after 1, 2, 3 season, the shows stop. I'm just wondering why, because they just want new stuff all the time.
And also for the audience is as well. Now the Chinese audience are very, you know, in the end it's too much shows, too much content. Now, especially the short video platform are now is very popular. You know, people can play with TikTok, Douyin in China, like two or three hours in the night. It's a very, you know, very interesting game. You know, TikTok using a logic is kind of 沉浸式体验,
immersive
experience. Because you are randomly getting the new content and with very cheap movement. So you are hoping the next video can satisfy you. So you keep changing. So I'm saying, you know, now Chinese audience are getting satisfied by video, long video, short video from everywhere. It's very hard to keep, you know, focus on only one or two show. You know, when I see the first season, oh yeah, what a brilliant idea. And the season two, so what? And season three, bullshit. Because there is another show gonna be half the wow, so cool. That is the brilliant idea. So people, the time slot of people is only this long.
So yeah, and people spend more time on Douyin and so on also because yeah, the COVID and everything basically push like all those people to stay at home on their phone. And that was also another question, like the word of the year, COVID. So therefore, like all the short video platform, they saw like their number of users like explode all around the planet. Also about video game, while in China for a few months, the cinemas in China were closed. Mm. So I'm just wondering, what about the format industry now here in China? How did COVID impacted it?
Sponsor doesn't have enough money to do more shows.
And no sponsor, no shows.
No shows, yes.
Okay.
Because internet platform is pure. No, I've said that, you know, Chinese TV station is not a pure public channel, right? But internet platform is a pure commercial driven platform. They were not doing the business without earning money.
Indeed, there's a decrease of variety shows in the first half of 2020. I think getting back a little, starting from August. In August, we have some new shows. But when we have these talks with friends, we're talking about, well, 2021 getting better. We have the confidence there'll be more variety shows coming up, but definitely it will never come back to like 5 or 6 years ago, that boom.
So close, not only cinema, also production company.
Okay, then what do you think will be the future trend? Like what the new format show will look like in the future?
I want to jump in to answer this question because...
Because you have something to pitch.
Because that's the reason I moved to Cinex. It's a decision that I made end of last year because I actually, you know, practitioners in this industry, in variety show industry, began to feel the temperature is getting cold. I think at the early of 2019, it was not because COVID-19, it was because of, you know, tax issues, economic downturns, and all of that. It just caught down the variety show format market. So I decided to change to shift into another field, which is factual entertainment, you know, using my experience in documentary and in entertainment to really create factual entertainment format, which is still very entertaining, but comparatively on a small budget, which I think will be a trend for China in the next 2 or 3 years.
I think internet platform is the future. TV platform is already gone. Yeah, this is the first point. And the second point is anything can break the triangle, they can win. Because once you get the idea, fully using the internet platform, you know, now the internet platform is not, they are just a TV station just based on the internet platform.
They are
doing the same thing, you know. But actually, it should be not like this. I think most of the management comes from the TV station to the internet platform. They know how to build content. They know how to fix this triangle, but they don't know how to fix, I don't know, the circle of the internet platform. So anyone can have the idea to fully use the internet platform and break the triangle, can make the commercial feedback from the market, from the clients, from C, it's not 2B. Because now we are doing the business, it's a 2B business. Do you understand 2B business? Actually, our audience is clients, is C. So we are, it kind of, you know, it's a strange thing, you know. We are doing a 2B or 2C business. So once they have the idea to think clear about this, they will have the future.
And then as the majority of the audience listening to this show are located abroad, I'm wondering, like, first of all, is there still like potential co-production or sell or format to China, or sell or format coming from China?
I think it's getting quiet from my observation, because I talked with several friends working in several international formats distribution company. I heard news such as they closed, you know, the Asian office, something like that. Probably you heard that, like, big companies like Animal Shine, Fremantle, and they all closed their office in China last year, not because of COVID-19, but probably, as I mentioned, in early 2019, and there's a trend, there's cooling down of the format business in China. It's getting quiet, but I would still encourage international, you know, co-development, co-pro, but co-pro is definitely difficult nowadays. But definitely, I think international co-development is something I would like to really carry on, work with some great creators together, because as long as you have something great, because still a content market, although we have so many contents in the market, but still we are looking for the best one, right? The next biggest hit.
I have to admit that when we started recording, I knew that there were a bit of a cool down of the market, but after all of this, it seems like, yeah, it's all the flashy years of a few years ago are really gone and might not be back for a really, really, really long time.
But, you know, it's good that we've been in all those change, you know, in those changes, and you are part of it, and you witness something really exciting. But I trust the business is still there. Can I just echo what we've talked about at probably the very beginning? I really want to highlight that even back in Chinese markets, when we talk about format, I don't really think everybody, I mean the practitioners in this industry, understand what does that mean. Does that just mean the concepts, or several elements in the show, or you know, the production Bible. So the understanding of format is still a kind of education to quite a lot of us, I think. So that's
yes,
my opinion.
Yes. I totally agree. I think Shirley mentioned, and it's totally right, because a format show is not just only long show. It's also, you know, can be a short video. To be honest, article with word and the picture is also now passing, you know, disappearing, because people are very lazy. They don't want to read. They just want to watch a video clip. So video is the future. Actually, it's very sad.
Not even podcast. Yeah, really sad.
Yes, but broadcast, when people are driving, they can't watch video. So broadcast is still alive, still doing a very good job. But you know, article, you know, words and pictures is now just I think it just exists in a very, you know, narrow area. So this business is I think it's bigger and bigger.
I'm going to try to wrap this up, but there is two things I really wanted to know. As I came here, the one thing that kind of really shocked me even was to see like how much the stars in China format shows were like so important. Like, okay, you can have like quiz show with, you know, like normal people answering questions, but everything else, you must have Fan Bingbing and whoever, or Angela Baby running around. And I never really understood why the clout, the power of stars was like so important. I thought like at the end of the day, if you manage to find an interesting format, an interesting game rule, things like that, like people would just like, they would just like tune in if this thing is good enough.
It's very simple. There are no stars, there's no viewers.
Did anyone try just to check?
Tried and checked. Double checked and then triple checked. Checked and checked.
And it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So then, and no one's going to work. And Vivo is not going to put his money. No one is going to watch it. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
You know the sponsors. What is the sponsors? And once you have to have your proposal. So first question is, who is in there? Okay. Fan Bingbing, Zhou Jielun, okay. That's an okay. You know, it's just Chinese people are just don't care normal people, you know. Chinese audience just don't care
about everyday hero. They want the stars.
First of all, as we mentioned earlier, the variety show industry is so much driven by sponsors, likes and dislikes. So they like stars. So that's number one, the reason why we have so many stars in the show. And second of all, I definitely think we, as producers and directors, you know, we've been not brave enough. You know, we didn't really push ourselves more harshly, because I don't really think we have some great, great directors or producers who really understand how to work around ordinary people. But probably you've tried in your basketball show, yeah? But still you have another four big stars. You've tried like 100 ordinary people as a chief writer for that show. I think you did a lot of work to how to shape around ordinary people and make audience love them. But still, we still need a lot of work to be done in that way. We've been driven by sponsors as well to work around stars.
I think this is just the truth. So, no, for example, the treasure, Nation Treasure. The treasure is very, you know, fabulous. And the story is very beautiful, and we tried very hard to write the stories. But I can tell you, if it is no star in there, there is no viewer. You can see the Weibo 热搜,
the hot topic in Weibo.
Yeah, top 100, how many are related to the celebrity and how many related to other things?
Mm.
I'm not saying that Chinese audience only, you know, chasing on stars. They are chasing, for example, now is a very popular boy. He's come from Tibet. Sichuan.
He's from Sichuan.
He's not a star. But, you know, people are treating him like a star.
Yeah, because I've seen his picture and he really looks like a Xiao Xianrou.
Okay.
He really looks like those really thin. I mean, when you look at him, he really has like the physique aspect of a Chinese star. I'm not saying it's bad or good. It's just he really fits the bill of what a star here looks like. So I thought, even though he's like a nobody, but he still has like the perfect look to fit into that category.
Yeah. So yeah. So now he is a star. Now he is not maybe participate in produce 101 or 青春有你, right? So.
But I would say he would be just a star for 2 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. And but now it's just a, you know, top level star. Like as Ma Baoguo.
It's okay. I would like to be a star for 2 weeks. Quickly, sorry, but there's like so many things to move over, and it's not every day that I can have the both of you in the same room, right? Regarding the Dunk of China, so the format of the show was like like you just mentioned, Shirley. So you have like 100 new people, like basically like sportsmen, but like nobodies who enter this kind of a competition show, and then they have like four teachers who them have like are real stars. But if I remember, you have someone like Chris Wu, who is not a basketball player. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of weird, but I mean, why not? Mm. So I'm just wondering, like, what was the hurdle to write all the show and all the production?
At the first, when we thought about we are doing a reality show about basketball, I said great, because basketball is a game. Game is a reality show. It's a reality show, but then it's you know, it's really the whole team is been fucked up because this is a game, and it's very difficult to be convert to be a reality show, because they have the game have their own win or lose. You cannot just break it. But on the other hand, when I suddenly realized how to make this show is because I meet the young people. Once I meet Wu Yo, a very popular street basketball boy, when I meet Hot Dog, who is the leader, street basketball in Shanghai. So when I meet everyone, when I know everyone looks like and know their life, and they are not nobody, they are basketball player. They love to play basketball. So this is the key word. So everything we just put them to in this kind of environment, we will see lots of hero pops up. But it's also a problem, because reality show, especially in an internet platform, is more focused on female audience. But this kind of topic is more focused on male audience.
Come on, you have like a lot of good-looking boys like exercising in the field.
That is what I'm thought. Yes. It's already okay, you know. The data we got is, I think it's still more than 50% of the audience are male. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
that's a problem.
That is a problem for platform, and that is a problem for sponsors, because normally male members doesn't push the topic to the topic of Weibo. You know, men are very straight. You go and get it and back. You know, they don't spend more time. They don't spend money. They don't, feed their idol. I love you. Men is very straight. You know, is you, for example, 青春有你is also beautiful young boys, right? So their fans, you know, buying the bottle of water just for, you know, vote for them. And lots of you know, commercial opportunities could be used by the show. But Dunk of China, no.
I wish we could dive even more. I think maybe Dunk of China could definitely be a case study on Middle Earth, but maybe next time. So now I think we're going to move on to the recommendation. So could you guys recommend any format show coming from China that you would recommend the audience?
I don't know whether we're thinking about the same one. But I would like to recommend the show that both Luca and I produced together, Let's Go Time Traveler, season 1 and 2. He's the producer, I'm the EP sort of thing. But it's a format imported from Korea. The reason why I'm recommending the show, and also I would recommend to watch the Chinese version, is because the show itself looks so simple, but to me, I think it has the greatest insight of a format. If you don't understand it, you will never understand it. If you get it, you can produce exactly a kind of show that nobody can produce. Because after we produced Let's Go Time Traveler, I noticed that even in Running Man, in 极限挑战, in those, you know, top variety outdoor reality show in China, they copied some of sceneries, you know, some of the format of Let's Go Time Traveler, but totally different. And then I thought, oh, probably they just don't get the insight of this format.
Yeah, so if anyone working at Running Man wants to hire Shirley.
Hire Luca.
Yeah, I agree. Let's Go Time Traveler, especially the Chinese version, is a very, very unique one. Very unique one. But I'm not thinking the same thing because I'm a short memory man. So I can only remember things happened in a year. My recommendation is 乐队的夏天, the Big Band, produced by iQIYI. I love this one is because I think it's kind of the same reason of the Dunk of China. They gather a group of, you know, special people to come to together, and those group of people are not quite well known by normal people. They need a star to lead the to lead audience. They need an expensive and beautiful stage to present. And but they are doing what they good at, and also those group of people are very strange people, are very weird. So it's very and very very funny. So it looks like it's so cool and you know, most of them are, 理想主义,
idealism.
Yeah. Most of them are idealism. And most of them are childish. Those kind of, you know, grown men, 40, 50 years old grown men, and showing their idealism, showing their childish, is a very, very, very interesting thing.
And we will put those recommendations on the show notes in case you didn't pick up the name with all the link that is needed. All right, and now we move on to the last part of the podcast, my favorite, the quiz. We're going to see who is the most knowledgeable among our guests on today's topic. The rules are simple. I'm going to ask you guys a few questions. In order to get the right to answer, you first buzz with your name and then you say the answers.
Okay.
And the person who has the most points win. Yeah, this is our own small format way here at the Middle Earth podcast.
Funny questions?
Well, yeah, well, of course. We'll try. First question. In which dating show did a woman declare to a contestant, I would rather cry in a BMW?
Shirley.
Shirley was faster.
非诚勿扰.
Yes, If You Are the One, which is on Jiangsu TV. All right, second question. Can you give me the name of the celebrity TV show inspired from the from a video game?
Shirley.
Yes.
王者荣耀。
Okay, the okay.
就是那个俞航英做的。
王者出击那个叫。
王者出击 ，whatever.
okay.
It's、
yeah.
not a video game.
王者出击。Based
mobile game.
Okay. Okay. I will give the point to Luca because this is actually the answer. Yeah, Wangzhe Chuji is the format show which is based on the video game Wangzhe Rongyao.
Yeah.
So, and please, Shirley, don't whatever us, like, this is people culture.
Yeah.
Next question. Can you tell me what is the show on Hunan TV that put a huge focus on Chinese politics?
A huge focus on Chinese politics?
Yeah.It's a show that I had two seasons.
Shirley.
Yeah.
马克思主义什么什么什么 I forgot the title, but it's not a variety show.
Well, it has like quiz and contestants, so it is a bit variety-ish, don't you think? Okay, so we've got like Marxism on our right.
Yeah.
Luca, do you remember the name of the show?
I don't know.
Yeah, Shirley, you're almost there. You win by 2 points because this one, it was almost the answer. The answer is actually like, 社会主义有点潮.
Yeah, yeah.
Socialism yeah. is a bit cool. So yeah, it's yeah. a TV show about Marxism and Xi Jinping.
Never heard of that.
I heard of that.
You can actually find the show online. I did. It's really interesting. Well, on those good words. So first of all, congrats, Shirley. You won.
Oh, I'm winner.
Well, on those good words, we will wrap up the show. So thank you guys for coming.
Thank you.
And thank you, dear listeners, to stay until the end credits. Middle Earth is produced by China Compass Production, your production service in the Middle Kingdom. In case you have a cultural project related to China, drop us an email at chinacompassproduction.com and see how we can help. Maybe, for example, let you find a new format coming up that Shirley will be surely be producing. I guess you already all have a podcast app, but if you don't want to miss the coming show or listen to the old ones, you can subscribe to our feed. And if you like this show, please consider sharing it to a friend. Always help with the algorithm and Orego. Hope to see you next time and stay safe. Bye-bye.